Glad that you're here this morning. We only have a couple of Sundays left, well, three, I guess, in total, between now and the end of our One Another series, where we're going through some of the key, not all of them, but some of the key One Another passages in Scripture. We actually talked about confession and forgiveness over these past 2 weeks, and I had this line rolling around in my head that came from a mentor of mine, which I never shared. I was like, I should have shared that line. So I'll share it now. Just this is a tag on from the last sermon. So pretend that this one hasn't begun yet. But he would say this about relationships and hearts and sins and confession. He goes, what you don't work out, you live out. What you don't address going on inside of you and the sin that's inside of you and the hurt that's inside of you and what you don't work out with the Lord and his word and his people, you will end up living out in some way because you'll find yourself suppressing, frustrated, hiding, masking, and it really doesn't work well. Even though we can honestly go decades long covering up. I shared the story about the kind of 5.5, almost 6 year hurt that I harbored and didn't even realize it, but then it started to work out in how I would speak or how I would feel or how I would think. And so it's coming out in some kind of way, but you have to go to the Lord with it if you want to handle it in the right way. And so this has been, for me and for many of us, I'm sure, a good series for our small groups going through it, just processing their own hearts. What does God want for us and how do we live? And we have made, at the beginning of the year, we kind of had three emphases: prayer, care, and mission. And prayer, we started with that series on prayer and a month of prayer and fasting. And there's a prayer gathering that's usually right here around this circle between 3, 5, 7, 9 people at it every Wednesday morning at 6:30 in the morning. And we pray there. We ask the Lord to save souls. We talk about things that we'd love to see God do. We talk about where we are. We celebrate praises when we see answers to prayer. And this is a big part of One Another, is praying for one another. I wonder who in here, the sermon started now, I wonder who in here is there's kind of two kinds, and you're probably one or both, you might be a blend. There's pray for people, and there's pray with people. Pray for, pray with. What do I mean? Well, first, we want everybody at this church, even if this is your first Sunday, and this is your only Sunday, or this is your last Sunday, or this is your whatever Sunday, we want everybody here to have vibrant, personal prayer lives. We want everybody here to see answers to prayer. We want everybody here to have ways that they pray and engage with the Lord, and they can actually celebrate when he's moving and celebrate what they're seeing. I talk about sniper rifle prayers. I want your prayers to have sniper rifle precision so that you know if it's being answered or not. Because very often in our kind of culture, especially our church culture, we just go real big like, well, God, do whatever. Do whatever you think is best. And we can kind of always with that go, oh, he did it. Like he did it because it happened. And I want us to bring real prayers before, because if they don't get answered, we have to contend with our own heart. So we want everybody here to have this vibrant prayer life. If you struggle with that, I would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you about how to pray better. And by better, I don't just mean like, man, your language. I mean habit, making a habit of it. Something the Lord's been really gracious over probably the past decade to help me grow in. So I'm like now in second grade. So if you feel like you're a kindergartner, we can talk. There are others in our church, like Benny, who are like in grad school, and we need to let her talk too. The pray for people is where you often are, where I often am, which is like, hey, I'll pray for that. I'm going to pray for that, and I'm going to go do that separately from you. I'm going to go do that over here in this corner in my personal prayer time. I'm going to pray for you in that way. And then there's pray with people, which is, I'm going to pray with you right here, right now. Michael, we just dealt with this, you and me. We were sharing a prayer request, and we broke. I was like, I break. I'll pray for that. And I walked away, and I'm walking in like to this building, and I'm like, ugh. I turn around like, hey, let's just stop right now and pray together for that thing. I so often am the pray for guy. I'll pray for it, and I will. I'm going to make every effort to pray for it and pray regularly. And I want to do that. But the pray with is harder because people hear our words and they hear our prayer requests and maybe they feel selfish or maybe they feel weird. So the pray with is a little different. We certainly want to be both. I don't just want to pray with people and I don't just want to pray for people. I want to be together and be separate, because when the scriptures say pray without ceasing, we want to be a people who pray without ceasing, that it's part of how we breathe. And so, we want both. For a chunk of my ministry life, I have always been a pray for guy, and I still feel inclined that way. But man, is there something to praying with people or praying for people with people? When you're together and you're praying for something that's going on, you're praying to see God's grace there. When we sit around the circle at times on Wednesdays, or you're in your community groups and we have people who are praying for specific things going on with members of their groups, and so you can pray for people with others. There really is a lot of joy and a little bit of discomfort that is found when we join together and we share our hearts and we ask people to pray for us, and they pray with us and they encourage us and they strengthen us in the Lord. And so I've tried over the past decade plus to be much more of a pray with people or a pray for people with people, and also to grow just personally as a prayer. But it's hard. There are certain things that we go, well, what do I pray for with people? What do I pray about with people? And is it weird to just go, hey, let's pray about that right now for the next 30 seconds? Because many of us probably have this feeling that prayer life has to be super deep, meaning like we got to go a long time, and we have to use, like, we have normal language that we speak, and then we flip into prayer language where we speak. So, yeah, the normal language is, hey, today was really tough, and then the prayer language is, God, I do not knowest why my prayers today are hard, but I believeth that today will be good. I'm like, what just happened? What just flipped between the person who's like, man, this is tough, and then it's like we change our language. We go to God. And so we feel this kind of odd pressure from maybe public prayers who are very good at it, or people who can just kind of flow with scripture out of their mouths, and it feels so good. And you are more like me, and you are a clunky prayer. And you kind of go, God, I really hope you work that thing out. And I don't even know what I mean when I say that, but you do. And so I'd like to see you do that in the best way possible, because I could be wrong. Like whatever it is, like we have this, we're the normal operating person and we're the prayer operating person. And so if we could just for a moment just look at the scriptures today and ask that question of them, to go, what's going on here? What kind of prayers can you pray for people? Now I'm going to say this first, all prayers. You bring everything. You bring everything with people. You know, it you have to just make a regular habit of talking to people about the things that you'd like for them to pray for. And you have to make a regular habit of stopping and praying with brothers and sisters together. But what do the scriptures help us see about the types of prayers that are really good to pray with others? So that's where we'll be today. And I think there are many. I think the scriptures, though, give a few really clear examples in the epistles that we see of requests for prayer and statements or commands to pray. One is about restoration. One is about gospel advancement, or you could even just go ministry life if you want to say it like that, restoration and gospel advancement or ministry life. And so we're going to start with the verse that we read from the letter of James, Jesus's half-brother, who wrote what is one of my favorite New Testament books. It may be my favorite New Testament epistle, and then also Acts is in there. It's just two New Testament books, letters I love. And there are some easy ways to remember James that I use. I have a little hand acronym, but as we get to the end, we talk about healing and prayer and confession. And when we talked about the confess to one another, we actually spoke in James chapter 5 about perhaps that what has befallen this person has happened because of sin, that there's some sin in somebody's heart that is resulting in some type of ailment. That seems odd for us, but we recognize from the Psalms that when you are in sin and it is unconfessed, it affects you. It affects your life. It affects how you talk. It affects how you think. It affects how you sleep. You have probably had a sleepless night realizing the way that you offended somebody, or inappropriately wearing the hurt from somebody else. You probably have navigated that in your heart in some kind of way. It has affected you, because we are affected when we live outside of the rhythms and ways that God would have us to live. So he talks about bringing the elders before you, to have the elders pray for you in this illness, and you may be healed. But that's what you see in 5:16 if you look back. We pray for the restoration of believers. That's what we want to see. We pray for the restoration of believers, back to good life, back to walking with the Lord openly and freely, the restoration of believers from James 5:16. Therefore, speaking about prayer and healing, confess your sins to one another, and connected to that, pray for one another that you may be healed. Do you see the connection between confess to one another and pray for one another with the result that you may be healed? So what would even that help us to realize is that when things are not aligned in the way that they should be, there's kind of this 1-2 punch of confession, you could say confession slash repentance, and prayer that help to bring those things back. Because here's one thing that prayer will always do. When you are bringing something to the Lord in prayer with a humble heart, sometimes we bring things before the Lord as a demand, but when you bring before the Lord things with a humble heart and you're asking him to move, you are taking it out of what you feel is your control, which is a place that we love to live, and you're moving it to the place of the domain of God's sovereign hand. And this really happens in everything. When you go, okay, well, I have this sin going on, let me use that as the example, in my heart. I have this thing I'm processing and I'm convicted by. I can either hold on to that and tell nobody, or I can tell other people and bring that into the light and walk with other brothers and sisters in a way that is more upright before the Lord. So we see in that then the confession of sin and the prayer for people who are battling sin and the result of restored brother or a restored sister. Now, that's often not something that we will do, but it should be in the way that believers operate, it should be an important way we demonstrate care for one another, is hearing what's going on in their heart and stopping and praying for them that they might be able to experience Lord's healing. Because what you're able to do there is you're able to bring it outside of just discussion and bring it before the Lord. Now, all of you have probably been, and this is something I love about Genesis as we've really made this prayer emphasis this year, all of you have likely been in prayer meetings of some kind or prayer request time of some kind where the prayer request sharing takes 80% of the time and the praying takes 20% of the time. And that's a generous distribution, right? It's often like, all right, well, we're out of time, so can somebody just pray for everything that was just said here? I think they're almost dying. They are about to get divorced. They are here. So can somebody just lift all that up? Yeah, Lord, we just pray for everything that was shared, and we ask your grace on it. Amen. And it just, doesn't that feel like this, like you give prayer short shrift there, where you go, let's pray for all those things, and then you kind of move on with your days. Versus what will often happen here, which is on a Wednesday, is really fighting to make prayer the thing that happens and sharing much less of the thing that happens. Not that sharing is bad. We don't go, hey, stop sharing. But it's praying for, finding restoration. And that idea of confession, prayer, restoration, those are all parts of the equation. Because you then have to go to God. We talk about going vertical. You go to God with whatever's going on. But you can break this down also in a small group time when your group may break out or they may have a discussion and somebody goes, hey, this is what's going on with me. And you're looking at the clock and you're going, we have 20 minutes. Well, three people can share for 30. Like, so what do you do there? Is you really go, hey, let's stop and let's pray for that right now. Let's pray for what you're sharing right now because I'm going to forget. I'm going to forget this thing. And so we just start to do that. So the prayer for the restoration of believers, that they might walk rightly with the Lord, that is a clear thing that you should be praying with others from James's letter. Now, with that, I want to just do an aside, because praying with people is hard. It's a difficult thing to do. You might not think it's difficult because it does require, like, we go, oh, no, I do it all the time. If you do, awesome. Praying with your spouse can be very hard. Praying with your kids can be very hard, like not knowing how to walk through those things and what do you say? What do you do? Well, who leads? Is it like a dance? And those often, our flesh will use those to keep us from actually stepping out and praying. We won't go, hey, can we pray for that right now? And I'm seriously, when I was talking to Michael this week, I'm just in my head processing, he wants me to pray, like he's bringing things for me to pray for. I could probably do that right now, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a commitment to pray for it more. I'm going to pray for it more if I go, I'm thinking I'm going to go pray by myself and be much more serious about it. But sometimes, what do we have? Like as believers, we don't have a ton of tools. And what I mean by that is, like, we don't have gimmicks. We don't have tricks. We have the Word of God. We have the people of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have a way to engage God. Like that, our weapons are spiritual weapons to fight spiritual battles. And we need to speak to one another with the weapons that we have and go to the Lord with the things that he has given us to fight with. And he's also provided the way for us to do that. And so it's not gossip prayer requests. It's not anything like that. It's just bearing your heart before other believers and helping them bring that before the Lord. I am both surprised by and grateful for times another brother or sister talks to me and explains kind of where their heart is and go, hey, could you pray for this thing in my life right now? Because it's just not going as I thought. It's not what I thought it would be. And you can go, yes, I absolutely can pray for that. I can absolutely pray for that. So we pray for that restoration. We pray for people to be walking rightly with God. As that James 5:16 continues, it goes, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. But for those who are walking right with the Lord and they recognize his will and his ways, to have those people care for you in times of your own weakness is such a gift. Is such a gift to be able to have them stand beside you, pray for you, care for you, show you God's word, remind you of what is true. Because it's the immature one who will come smack you across the head with your confession. Right? It's the immature one who will go, finally, I've been waiting for you to say that. I've been waiting for that. Now we can get to business. No, the one who's walking with the Lord will go, thank you for sharing that. Like, let's go to him with this and let's figure out how we can walk in freedom from wherever we are. Yeah, that's the one. And when you do that, I remember one time I confessed something to just a mentor and a man in my life, and I was not sure how he was going to take it. Right, I was like, ugh. And he just stared at me, and he was like, yep, like, doesn't surprise me. And I was like, oh, okay, so this isn't as scary as I thought. Like, when you actually confess something, and then somebody who's walking with the Lord hears it, they don't go, I had no idea. One thing that you get from people who are walking with the Lord when you confess to them is, total lack of dumbfoundedness, because they know their own hearts, they know their own sins, and they've seen the Lord move them through them, and so they don't have this big, like, gasp. And so if you are fearful about bringing your heart before other brothers and sisters, I would encourage you in two ways. One is, well, who are you around? Because if you're around people who aren't concerned about God's best for you, then I would be concerned too. If you're going to find bad responses or people who don't really walk with the Lord, then I would be concerned about that. But then the secondly is, what are you losing by withholding? And what you're often losing is what James talks about, which is the restoration that comes on the back end of confession, repentance, and prayer with other people. You're losing that aspect of healing a human heart, and you just harbor. You harbor and you harbor and you harbor. So that's one thing that we pray for. I would encourage anybody here, when you're in your groups, when you have trusted people, people who really are anchor points for you, and you can bear your heart, your soul to them, to do it. To do it. Say, here's where I am and here's what I need prayer for. And to stop in that moment and pray with them for that. Prepositions are going to get very confusing as we continue. Withs and fors and besides and unders and overs. So that's one. There's another one that absolutely requires prayer. And I think we're going to see a theme here is that the things that really do require prayer are things that only God can do. Like, it's not like, hey, pray that pray that I talk. Well, like, God made my voice to talk. I can talk and communicate, all those things. It's still dependent on his strength and how he would do it. And God can sustain me through the day. So I'm still held together by the word of Christ's power. We still are. This universe still is. But there are some battles that are really just the Lord's battles to fight. The making, you know, the restoration of a believer is something that absolutely has to be brought into the realm of God's absolute sovereignty, because we don't want to try and do it by human means. human mechanisms. A second one is gospel advancement. You pray for the restoration of believers and you pray for gospel advancement. And I'm going to use this in Paul's language and then go, well, how do we navigate this as a church? But there's something that Paul would do in his letters to churches where he would even share his own prayer needs, which I love. He would say, hey, pray for this thing going on, pray for us. But it wasn't these kind of personal prayer requests all the time, like pray that I get along with so-and-so or pray that this happens. It was, here's what we need to see God do. And he would do this in a few ways. He brought prayer out and prayer requests out to churches for the work that was going on. I love this line in 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brothers, pray for us. Pray for us. And when he's saying pray for us, he's actually saying that from the perspective of those who are going out to continue to proclaim the gospel, plant churches, do that kind of work. And so, brothers, pray for us. You ever felt that? Anybody, like when you're doing that, just pray for me. I don't even care what you pray. I don't care how you pray. Just pray for me. I need it. But that's actually not all he was saying, because it was the prayers for the ministry that Paul was being a part of. Paul was a part of gospel proclamation throughout the known world. And he needed prayers of others in order to feel that confidence and that peace of God and the direction that God would have, because you have to really be walking so closely with the Lord and so confident in who he is as you're out in those spaces where you feel like you're on the edge of ministry life. So pray for us that God would meet us here, that things would be clear, that everything would be going as it ought to go. We pray for gospel advancement. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It'll be behind me, I think. But 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Finally, brothers, pray for us. There it is again. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. You hear again in 2 Thessalonians 3 this longing for the gospel to advance with power. And look at that language. Speed ahead. You know, anybody ever prayed, God, go before us? You ever prayed that prayer? Go before us. That when we're there, we're going to be harvesting in fields that you have already been working in, and we just step into those places. So may the word speed ahead, as it already did, we're saying to the Thessalonians, as it did with you, when we came with you, and you were prepared, and you were ready. And pray that we would be delivered from wicked and evil men. Because he saw that as really spiritual opposition to the gospel message. So pray for us and pray for our deliverance. Pray that the gospel message would go forth. Pray for our deliverance amongst wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. And if you read the book of Acts, you will find at times, or you read Paul's epistles, and you read about a guy named Alexander the coppersmith. Not a good dude. Not a friendly foe, you know. There are real impediments to the gospel going out. And that could be simply because of the work in the soil where people are. It can be because of real opponents to the gospel message. All things that Jesus said would happen. But you don't fight those battles with frustration. You fight those battles with prayer. God, continue to speed ahead. Continue to do the work, and may you remove the obstacles, be they people or otherwise, to this kind of work, that we would not be ensnared by that. Those are those kinds of sniper rifle prayers that we can pray, because Paul is looking for God's movement. There are times in the book of Acts, I've shared this many times, it's one of the stunning things about Paul's ministry. On his second missionary journey, he wants to preach the gospel. I believe this is Acts chapter 16. He wants to preach the gospel. He wants to go, and at least on two occasions there, the word says that the spirit of Jesus did not permit him to speak. And I always find that so stunning, because how closely do you have to be walking with God to go, not there. I have a longing here to do what God has put into my bones. And I would, in my world, I go, then just preach everywhere all the time. Just keep doing it. But Paul had this recognition of where God was inviting him and where God was not inviting him, that he just continued to travel and he didn't feel permitted to preach. That led to the Macedonian call, where he actually had a dream and then went over, and that's where like the church of Philippi started. That's where some of the letters that we read about here started. His second missionary journey, there was a time when he was told not to preach But it wasn't so he wouldn't, but it was so that he would get to see Lydia at the riverside and begin the church at Philippi. And so in order for us to have that level of awareness, we have to not just pray for ourselves, but have others come along with it, because this carries, I'll use the phrase, like ministry or gospel seriousness. I think I've shared this with many of you guys. In December of last year, when I finished my grad school part two, I had a group of people at my church who would help me. They would pray for me. They would help. They would support. They would give food to the family. Whatever they did, they were great folks. And I just had this list of seminary supporters. That's what it was on my contact list, seminary supporters. And I would give them updates. Here's what the classes I'm taking. Here's this. Here's that. In December of last year, I went back to them and a few others. And I said, hey, I just, what we want to see happen in our church this year is going to require more than just me or our church praying for it. I believe that. And so I asked people to begin praying for us. For us. And there are some pastors in town, and there are some old ministry relationships that I have kind of smattered and scattered throughout mainly Texas, Louisiana. I think we get up to Iowa. We get to a few spots. But like, and about once a month, I send basically a prayer update. And I say, here's what's going on in church life, and here's what's going on in the Guger family life, and here's what we need you guys praying for as we head into this next season. And when I read the December prayer, or like December 2022 prayer thing, just the ask to join, and then I read the October prayer update, I just go, oh my gosh. Like, I had no clue the things that the Lord would be orchestrating, the things that we would be experiencing, the things that we would be seeing. And I just felt the weight of going, I don't think one person, one eldership, or even one church can carry these prayers. We need more. And so, Genesis, you have had 30 to 40 people praying for us from around the country for the entire year. The entire year. Some have been so bought in that they have given to Genesis. They've actually cut checks to Genesis because they believe in that so much. I didn't even know. I just get like a text, hey, Hans, you know, we love what you're doing. We love what's going on there. It's like a plural you, not the singular. We love that work. We want to support it. And I'm just like, great, thank you. And then one guy was like, and if the Lord leads me to give you more, we'll give you more. I'm like, well, he should be leading you then. I'm going to pray for that. But here's the thing. It actually came after I was in a sermon. I believe it was in December. I said to us, we should all have people in our lives that we're regularly updating with prayer needs. It's not just the missionary prayer request, which you get from Paul in the Thessalonians, but it is the ongoing pray for. Here's what's going on. Here's what we need to see, right? That kind of specificity, because there's a message going forth. And we often, all of us here in this room right now are not missionaries in the sense that the Apostle Paul was, or in the sense of many of our supported missionaries are. We aren't those people. I'm not. You likely aren't, at least not yet. I pray for people regularly that we would send out people cross-culturally to go make disciples of all nations. But we are just sitting around like average Joes, living our lives and trying to be faithful in that. And wanting to honor the Lord in that. That too needs that type of precision prayer, because God gives you neighbors, coworkers, friends, school friends, your kids have friends, family relate. You have all of those things. And what do you really want to see in your heart of hearts, Genesis? What do we all really want to see? We want to see God transform those relationships. That's what we want. And it takes the regular bearing of our souls with other brothers and sisters and going to the Lord and asking for those things. There have been numerous times in these prayer gatherings where we will ask, like a parent will go, hey, pray for this kid, pray for my child. And then we'll get an update about that kid where it's like, hey, God did it. You know, my child is interested in the Lord, or this is happening. And we just chuckle, because that's what God does. He so longs for his glory and his ways to be known among his people. And when his people are coming before him and asking him to move in ways that are in keeping with his character, it is so good. It is so good. And so we have Paul bringing others in. You hear this? He's bringing others along to go pray for this work that we're doing. Pray for what is going on. For those of you in the room who are group leaders, share. You should be sharing. We should be sharing our needs of our group. Pray for this. We want to see this happen. We want to see God do this because it's not just up here with Paul writing a letter. It's in your house. It's when you're doing ministry and you go, I have this kid in kids ministry and he or she is going crazy. And we need to pray that the parents would see it, the child would see it, that there would be restoration. Like that kind of work. Because all the work that everybody in this room who has God's Spirit is doing means something. It's not just like, well, I'm not Paul, I wouldn't do that. Another thing that Paul wanted, our kids sang it last week, continue steadfastly in prayer, but there's more to it. Paul had a way that he wanted prayer. So he tells them to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That's what we sang. Continue steadfastly. All the kids know it. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Then he says this. At the same time, as you are praying, at the same time, you're praying, pray for us. So you're praying, continuing steadfastly in prayer, you're being watchful in it. Now also pray for us. Listen to his prayer again, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the ministry of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. So you guys continue steadfastly in prayer. That's what he wants. Also pray for us that God would open a door to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. And then look at verse 4. That I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. He actually prays. The guy that has the equivalent of what feels like 35 doctorate degrees, who doesn't really seem to have a problem in communication, except that Peter, the blue-collar fisherman, was like, yeah, Paul can be real hard to understand. Which gives me a lot of comfort that the Spirit inspired Peter to remind us that Paul can be a difficult man to comprehend. Good. I'm with Peter. Not really a fisherman, but I get it. But what is Paul's prayer even then? Again, it's that sniper rifle prayer. That God would open a door, and that as that door is open, I may be able to step in and speak clearly. Have you ever gotten done with a meeting and gone, gosh, I wish I could have been more clear. I wish I could have been more clear. I wish I could have said that in a better way. We all have those kinds of regrets, but at the same time, I wonder, no accusation from me, I wonder how often we are praying that in the interactions God gives us that we would be clear. Maybe one of the reasons that we struggle, perhaps, with being clear in certain situations is it could be a knowledge problem, but it also could be an expectancy problem. Are we asking that God would put us in situations where we would be able to speak about him in a clear way? I heard a pastor say this years, this is like 15 years ago, something like that, maybe 13, give or take, I'm getting old. And he prayed, he talked about how in the morning he would pray through his day, the appointments he knew he had, the things that he knew were going on, and I just thought that was great advice, so I didn't start doing it. But I remember it. I remember going, that seems pretty good. It wasn't until like 10 years later that I thought, I should probably start doing that. I should probably start doing that. That I would just look at my day and look at what God has before me that I can see and go, God, provide me opportunities to encourage this person, be in this meeting, show up in that space, do what you need to do. Like to go through my day and ask for God to be in those spaces already rather than just show up and go, well, here we go, all right? But no, God put those people in those places. I also try to remind myself that if it gets disrupted, it's not a coincidence. But it's another opportunity for me to go, God, what do you have for me in this thing? So I try to both plan and pray and also step back and let the Lord do what the Lord's doing. So Paul was praying. He was bringing others into the work that he was doing. And he was also bringing others in to ask that the word would go forth clearly. And so I think that we realize that when it comes to the ministry that we do, and by the ministry, I just mean the general operating way that you as somebody who has God's Spirit is living life. It could be the profession you have, the family you're in, the situations that you're dealing with, all of those things. Like, we really need an army of people coming alongside us. It can be a small army, don't worry. How big is that army? It could be the 12 people in your small group. Like it doesn't have to, the 3 people in your D group. An army of people where we are saying, here's what's going on and here's what we need to see God do. Here's what we're asking God to do. Here's what we're expecting God to do. Here's what we're longing for God to do. Or people you can fall small in front of and go, here's where I've struggled or here's where I've failed this week. when Matt was having us go through our prayers for the week, and in even the confession moment, and just think through your week. And I was like, oh Lord, think through the week and all the ways you failed God. I'm like, how much time do we have? All the ways your sin has gotten in the way, your flesh has gotten in the way. I'm like, I could create a very long list, but ultimately I just have gratitude. Lord, I'm glad that I belong to you, and I'm glad that I am forgiven, because like we talked about last week, if I just had to walk through this world with a bunch of gaping wounds that never healed, that would be hideous. But many of us do walk through life with a bunch of gaping emotional wounds because the Lord has never, our hardened hearts maybe not, don't even let the Lord intervene in those spaces. We just go, nope, not going to do it. Because we're talking about praying for others or with others, in your guide that we have for the small groups we're going through, there are some just good questions. I want to give you these questions before we go to some specific habits. This is just from your study, and I thought these were good, so I'm going to stand for all of us because not all of us are in community groups. As a group, are we passionate about prayer? Because the scriptures say, pray without ceasing. So is prayer like the last thing in our gatherings that we get tagged on to what we do when we're with other brothers and sisters? Are we passionate? Do we care about this? Or does it get pushed to, I'll pray for you later? I'll pray for you later. Are we persistent in prayer? Jesus gives illustrations and stories about persistent prayers and how over time the persistent person changes the heart of the person that they're petitioning because they just kept at it. That parable itself is the reason that in many of my prayer requests I've put dates on them, because I needed to know if I was serious enough to bring something before the Lord for a decade. Does this matter enough for me to pray about it forever until I know the answer? I would say, I'm now over the hill. I think over the hill now is 50, but or 70 or 80. So whatever the decade is above the oldest person at our church, 90. Over the hill is 90. I would say for the bulk of my life in ministry, as a young believer, a guy in his 20s in particular, this is my decade of 20s, I was an inconsistent, non-dependent, just will it on through kind of pastor. I thought that ministry was about doing things in your own strength with vim and vigor and all those things, and I was not a persistent prayer. I would be the guy in the room to go say things like that, we need to be done praying now. I'll still be that guy at times. I'm like, all right, it's time to move. I think we've prayed, we've brought the Lord into it time and time again. Let's start walking. I'll be that guy. But I was the one that was like, no, we don't need to pray again. I was that guy, which, 15 years later, kind of sounds foolish. Is our prayer spirit-led? Is the Spirit helping us when we don't know what to say, just to go, Lord, step in. You know what we're trying to say and feel, because there are those times when you can't even articulate the right thing that you need to see. Do we trust that the Lord is filling in those gaps of our own weaknesses? Are we praying honestly and not performatively? Jesus has no room in his communication with us for performative prayers who want to be seen and want to be heralded as very good public prayers. The man, we've read this recently in our reading plan, who goes, God, thank you so much, I'm not like that one. And that one was, have mercy on me. A sinner. Yeah, so glad I'm not like that sinner. Are we praying with confidence, meaning ask and it will be given? Are we walking with the Lord in such a way that we have confidence about his character? Are we praying with clean hearts? That we really are. The prayer of a righteous is powerful and it's working from James 5, but at the same time, as we think about that, there are times when we disregard our own sinfulness as we pray and just assume or presume upon the Lord. We're praying with clean hearts, repentant, forgiven, joyful people. And then finally, are we praying through Scripture? There's a book by a guy named Don Whitney. I think it's called Praying Scripture, something like that. That's what he teaches. He just teaches you how to use the Psalms and use Scripture. When you don't know how to pray, go to prayers that are Spirit-inspired and let them be the way that you pray. If you are here today and you don't know what to pray, just go to Psalm 1. and begin reading it. You could even read it out loud. And where you find yourself not believing it in your own heart or doubting it, you know what? Now you can bring that doubt to God. God, why don't I feel this way? Why don't I agree with this? Why don't I want to be that kind of person? Why would I rather at times not delight in your word, but delight in this world? Help me understand why that is, because the world just is very compelling at times. Like, you just use the scriptures to guide your prayers. You really can't go off the rails if you're just praying scripture. I'm sure you've been in prayer gatherings that feel like they're going off the rails. You're like, what has just happened here? And that often happens when you begin to deviate from the normative ways that God would just have his people pray and the kinds of things that they would be asking for. And so you pray and you expect and you go to the Lord, but when you're lost and you're not sure what to say, there is sometimes nothing better to do than just go to God's word and bring it back to him. God, help me understand this better. Help me. It seems like Paul really cared about the gospel being clear, and I don't seem to care about it being clear. I'm just kind of trusting it'll work out. Why don't I have that burden, Lord, for clarity for the gospel? Help me do that. I have a whole list of requests of things I read in the Bible that I know I don't feel. And it's really me going to God going, I wish I cared more about that. I wish I cared. I'll be in a reading plan. I'll find something and I'll go, that just doesn't do it for me. And I don't know why. And so rather than just feel that way, because newsflash, that's the wrong way to feel. Well, I think my feeling on this is better than God's. Not the best way to do it, but it's a kind of a fleshly response. And so what do? Is I bring that to God. God, why don't I care for justice as much as you do? Why don't I have that concern? Why do I not feel this way? Why don't I have that burden for whatever it is? And so there's just some times where I'll read a passage and I realize I don't have that burden. I just begin to ask God to grow that in me. Just grow that in me, God, because it seems important. And it's not important to me. And so I bring it before him and ask him to do the work. Why? Because you really have two ways to be strong, and one of them's a lie. You can either try and be strong in yourself or be strong in the Lord, but you can't be strong in both. And so when you're trying to be strong in yourself, you're like, I'll figure it out. I'll do it. I won't confess the sin. I won't deal with my own heart. I won't handle it. I don't need that. When you're trying to live in your own strength and pray, and you pray, you know, but live your life in your own strength and trying to get it done with your own skill set, you're going to try to live in your own strength, or you live in the Lord's strength, which that posture of weakness, that posture of dependence is actually the best place to be. And when you bring those together with other brothers and sisters, you actually bring great power, because you're realizing it is not something that you could do. It is not something that you could conjure up. It is not something that you can need. That's why even in December of last year, I'm going, guys, I need more people praying for us. That's why we had been bringing requests before you guys. We just need to be praying more for things and praying more for people and being in spaces where we could pray more for people. And I'm trying to flip my own heart to be a pray with people for things versus just praying for people, which is very hard to do because you have to go, hey, can we pray about that right now? Can we just pray about that right now? It doesn't have to be more than 15 seconds, but let's just start this. Let's begin. If we believe our power comes from the Lord, then we should do that. It would, in essence, be like my children going, I think Dad has the authority to do this, but we're not going to bring him into the equation. We're just going to try and figure it out. And really the only way that what can happen will happen is if Dad shows up. Well, we need to be the same kind of prayerfully dependent children, because that's what Jesus says we are. Children can sometimes be foolish. But we need to bring our Heavenly Father into everything, because we live in an absolute posture of dependence. So I'm going to give you three sentences. They're going to come on the screen one at a time, I think. I think I set it up to do that, Blaine. So your first kind of thing for us as we do this is to ask for prayer from others. It's the first thing I want us to do. Ask for prayer from others. And that could be in your community group, that could be here, that could be somewhere, but ask people to pray for you. I need you to pray for this. I need to see this happen. I think men are worse at this in general because we don't want to present weakness. But I do think we all struggle saying this is actually where I am. Especially the longer we're in church life because we feel embarrassed that we're dealing with the same flesh patterns from 25 years ago. And so we're like, I don't want to say it again. I don't want to say it again. I don't want to say that I was angry or that I belittled my children. I don't want to say that. I want to just get over it. No, you don't have to do that. Because you may not realize that God is actually doing a work. And it might take another brother or sister looking at you and saying, actually, I am stunned by the grace God's shown you through this. You aren't the same person you were, but you feel like you are. God is moving. So ask for prayer. When this is done, actually, we'll have a few people in the back just ready to have you ask for prayer from us, and we'll pray for you, whatever it might be. Ask for prayer from people. Commit to pray for others is the second idea. Commit to pray for others. So whatever circle that you live in, start with those in that circle and commit to pray for them weekly. If you're in a community group, I would encourage you to start a list of the people in your group and make that at least a weekly list that you pray through. Just commit now to regularly pray for those others in your lives. Just start with that. If it's your D group or if it's the families that you serve in kids ministry, I'm going to start a list of those families that I regularly see, and I'm going to commit to pray weekly for the kids in my ministry and the parents in that ministry. I'm going to commit to pray for that. And then, here's what I would add with, share your prayers with others. Now, this needs a little bit of tempering for me. But this is what I would say is, at the right time and in the right way, and sometimes it's just watching and waiting for God to move, but to say to people, hey, I'm praying for this for you. I haven't stopped praying for this for you. I have found even in my own life, that I have a pastor who texts me almost every Sunday morning. And it's usually a verse and some kind of gratitude and some affirmation of prayer. Every Sunday morning, like if it's, I'm like, oh, that's David. Like David's texting me. And I usually like text him a kissy face back or something like that because it's awkward. But sharing the ways you're praying for people actually is a huge blessing. Hey, I heard you say that last week. I heard you say that last month. And I just want you to know that I've been praying for that since you brought it up. How's it going? Let prayer be the language that you speak and the way that you communicate and the way that you encourage and the way that you care. I have found in my own ministry life is that when I just commit to pray for people and I tell them that or I pray with them for those things, that is some of the best pastoring that you can do. It's the best group leadership that you can give because I'm realizing that I have to move it out of the domain of just horizontal relationships and bring it to the Lord. And so I had somebody say to me, I think, gosh, was this was Monday night, this past Monday night. So I was talking about family idolatry and she was like, hey, I have a question about family idolatry. Like, I see it in my family's life. I see the way that this is happening, and I don't know what to do. Like, what's the one thing that I could do to, you know, do this, to recognize this? I said, honestly, the only tool I have, because I was teaching a class, and I said, you pray that God would make it evident and that God would provide you specifically an opportunity to speak in. You don't just want to run roughshod over it, but because it's a step family situation and you're seeing different kinds of dynamics, pray that God would give you an opportunity to speak into his heart and to her heart at the right time and in the right way, and that when he moves, you can move. Now, I didn't pray with her there, but the only advice I had was, you got to bring this to God. There's not another strategy. Well, call a family meeting. Like, even if you call the family meeting, you bathe that thing in prayer. And so you bring it to God. Now, what happens is when we bring things to God together, we see God move. When we ask and bring others in the community into these situations, we see God move. And when we share what we're praying for and when we share what they're answered, we see God move. And everybody here, I just want you to know, for me, there is no prayer request too small or trivial to bring up with others. I'm going to let the Lord work that part out. I'm going to let the Lord go, Lord's going to say no to that one. Hans, you don't need a 15th helping of waffle fries. Like, that's not a necessary thing. You're right, God. I don't need that many. How about 14? 13. Let the Lord search out the heart. If you share something with me and you go, hey, pray for this. I'm like, let's pray for it. Because it's the most significant thing you feel like you're going through right now. Let's bring it to the Lord. Make him a part of what's going on. And so that's what I would encourage. And I would say that in that, God grows us as a praying people.